You could turn in your Bibles to Psalm 67. Psalm 67, this will be the center of our consideration this evening. Oftentimes in mission conferences, we look to the New Testament and the Great Commission and the four Gospels, and then also in Acts 1. Sometimes we go to Isaiah 6 if we want to feel Old Testament-y and all of that. But we're coming to Psalm 67 this evening. To the choir master with stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear him. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The Psalter is that book of worship that God has given to us. And as Pastor Brian has mentioned already, that if the goal of missions is worship, then we should not be surprised to see that the book of worship in the Bible has much to say about missions. In fact, George Peters, in his book, A Biblical Theology of Missions, makes the following statement. The Psalter is one of the greatest missionary books in all the world, though seldom it is seen from that point of view. And it is a marvelous reality that when you work through the Psalms and you see a variety of expressions of all the peoples praising God and this desire and this prayer in their worship, that all of the nations, all of the people groups would come to God and give him praise. It's remarkable that that was sung by Israel in their day with an outward view. And here we are in 2020, the fulfillment of that. And the very language of the Psalms in its, if you want to say, in this universalistic tone of all the people groups, all the nations, should actually encourage you as being part of the fulfillment of God's saving work in history in gathering his people to himself. And of all of the Psalms that have a missionary emphasis, Psalm 67 probably stands out as one of the preeminent ones. There is a book on missions that has been referred to often here at Wayside. It's by John Piper called Let the Nations Be Glad. And that title of that book was taken from Psalm 67:4. And the very theme of that book is really an exposition of this psalm. It is a psalm of missions. But what I want to do briefly before we come to the table this evening is consider how the psalmist is viewing missions as it pertains to all of Scripture. We're back in the Psalms, so we've left our summer series of A Playlist for Life, but we're still in the new one, Glimpses of the Sun from the Shadows, even though we're in the Psalms. And I want to show how this particular psalmist uses Scripture to fuel his own desire for missions, and how this psalm ultimately brings us to behold the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as you've read this psalm, as we read it aloud, there were probably certain phrases that stood out as very familiar. We heard one this morning in the benediction. You have that Aaronic blessing in Numbers 6. And The psalm opens with, may God be gracious to us, may God bless us, make his face shine upon us. That comes from the Aaronic blessing. You have God commanding Moses to command Aaron, who commands his son, to give this divine benediction to God's people every time they gather and before they are then sent out. And that forms the introduction of this psalm. There's a few changes in numbers. It is Jehovah, that covenantal name, and it's, may Jehovah bless you. May he cause his face shine upon you. Here we have a different title for God. It is the title that really highlights the universal sovereignty of God over all people. And then the pronoun is changed to a prayer. May the sovereign God over all nations bless us, cause his face to shine upon us, so that your way may be known to all the earth. A reminder that the God of Israel, that covenant-keeping God of Israel, Jehovah, is the one true and living God over all the nations, and all of the nations need to worship him. The other part of scripture that we want to keep in mind that comes out of even the Aaronic blessing goes further back beyond Numbers to Genesis 12, where you have God's sovereign, gracious call of Abram, who was of a family of idolaters. And he was called out by God, by grace, and given a promise. And that particular promise is in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. And I'll read that. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those that bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Right? So we have this Aaronic benediction that is kind of turned to a prayer, and then what then shapes that prayer is that redemptive promise of God that goes all the way back. And so if I could say to you, where do we get the Great Commission? And if you say, well, it's in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're right. But it actually goes all the way back. It goes all the way back to God's saving acts, even in Abram's life. And that is what forms the basis of this prayer, that all the nations will come to know God. And we have a variety of phrases here. There's poetic variety, but it's referring to the same thing. We have, let the peoples praise you, let the nations be glad, going back and forth between peoples and nations. We don't want to so much limit nations to a geopolitical boundary, but we want to think of people groups, all peoples across the earth. You even have in Chattanooga, one city, but multiple people groups, right? So we want to think broad scope here. And I want to bring before you just four observations as it pertains to missions from this psalm. Number one, that God's sovereign grace in redemption and God's glory in all things form the backdrop of our commitment to missions. God's saving purposes and God's glory is to form the backdrop of our commitment to missions. Again, as Brian already said, what is the goal of mission? It is that God is worshipped. Why do we desire that God be worshipped? Because God alone is worthy of all worship. throughout the Old Testament, we see these phrases referring to God as the glory of God. That word glory has the idea of weighty. That only God has a certain kind of weight, a certain kind of glory that belongs to Him alone. And because of that, He alone ought to be worshipped. And what should fuel our desire for missions is His glory. And how does God manifest His glory the most in history? Through His saving redemptive acts. That you have the God of all who came and called Abram an idolater. And sometimes we can be very familiar with the story of Abraham and we can rush to how wonderful he is, but we forget the fact that God showed grace and mercy to someone who was a pagan. And He redeemed him. And He said, I'm choosing you and you're going to have a seed. You're going to have a son. And through you, all the nations will be blessed. And that seed, that son, is ultimately the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is going to be through the Lord Jesus Christ that God brings all of His people to Himself. And we ought to be enamored. Never get over the wonder of God's saving act in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us never feel or think as though we've matured past the glory and beauty that God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. Missions is the purpose of the incarnation. God bringing a people to Himself through the promised seed of Abraham. So God's promise to save Abraham and to provide a seed that is ultimately Jesus of Nazareth was never intended to be just for Israel. Even in Genesis 12, what do we see? Through you, the nations will be blessed. The Great Commission does not show up in the New Testament. The second thing I want you to see is, as we come more deeply to verses 1 through 3, is that God's gracious dealings with His people fuel their desire to see the nations praise God. May God be gracious to us. May God bless us. May He make His face shine upon us. Why? Not so that we can prosper. Not so that we can feel extra special. Not so that we can look at others and say, man, it kind of stinks that you don't have our blessing. No. God, make Your face shine upon us so that Your way may be known on earth. Your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise You. So God's gracious dealings with us fuel our desire that others praise You. Look, when we gather each Lord's Day, and we have the call to worship and all that goes on and then the benediction, you have a foretaste of the new heavens and new earth. We are gathered and there's heaven and earth are meeting in worship and He's being glorified. The manifold wisdom of God is on display and we praise Him for His work of redemption in our lives, giving Him glory. And what do we long to then see is we want others to experience that. And we want all the peoples to know what we have known by God's grace. And that isn't limited to on the other side of an ocean. Right? Where does missions begin? As you step outside your front door. Dunlap. Chattanooga. Soddy Daisy. And beyond. You understand that there are many countries who are sending missionaries to America, which is a good reminder that Jesus is the Messiah and not the United States. Right? Jesus as we heard this morning, is the one that needs to be lifted up. It's all about Jesus. And we want others to behold what we have experienced. It is interesting that Psalm 67 was one of the psalms that was sung at the Feast of Pentecost. Pentecost, that feast of Israel whereby they praise God for the harvest, but then also we know what took place at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is poured out. The apostles are given that gift of tongues to proclaim the gospel to many nations. And now, what do you have? The fulfillment of Psalm 67, sung at the Feast of Pentecost, the day of Pentecost being that day where we see God's grace and glory bombarding the nations and going out and going forth. The third thing that I want you to see is that God's righteous rule guides all nations. Therefore, we long to see the nations praise God with joy and to be glad in Him, verses 4 and 5. God's righteous rule guides all nations. Therefore, we long to see them worship God. This is actually a cause for great rejoicing that God rules the nations. God governs them righteously. And what a great point of evangelism this is, especially in our day with so much talk of justice and righteousness. We can point people to a God who will make all things right. He is a righteous God. And He rules all the nations. And it's remarkable here that you see this truth in Psalm 67:4 being picked up by Jesus in the Great Commission. What does He say? All authority in heaven and earth is given to me. All authority. He is the righteous, royal ruler of all. Let's long to see people behold their God. And then finally, kind of a repeated theme, but different perspective angle, is God's compassionate goodness to His people serves as a means by which He is good to the nations. So God's goodness to us should encourage us to missions, but then also God's goodness to us serves as a means by which He brings people to Himself. Look at verses 6 and 7. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let all the ends of the earth fear Him. God changes our lives by showing us good so that we might then tell of that goodness to others so that they might fear Him. Walter Kaiser highlighted this truth very succinctly when he says, "This is what the goodness of God was driving Israel to. A key way to bring all the nations on the planet, on earth, to believe in God. Therefore, Israel was to be a witnessing, proclaiming, and evangelizing nation." Now, the church, as the Israel of God, is to glorify God, and you might find this familiar. The church, as the Israel of God, is to glorify God by being a worshiping covenant community of equipped, mature, and joy-filled disciples of Jesus Christ, taking His gospel from Signal Mountain to the world. What do we exist for? To glorify God. And we do that through our worship, and we long to see then God's grace to us, and through the church, we see others come to God. So what is the means of missions? Planting churches? Right? In the Old Testament, as Israel was a light, the Gentiles came into that covenant community and worshiped God. Now, Christ gives His commission, He establishes His church, and we go out to do what? To worship God as He has revealed in His word, which is through gathered worship, preaching, prayer, sacraments. And so, what Psalm 67 is bringing us to is taking our eyes upward, seeing then God's grace to us inward and then looking outward. It's the same thing that Isaiah 6 teaches us. You see and behold the glory of God there, one high and lifted up. Woe is me, for I'm undone. Touches us with the coal, right? And then now speak. And so the chief end of missions is God's glory. The fuel for missions is God's sovereign grace. The scope of missions is to see God worshiped by all nations and people groups. The means of missions is God's covenant people proclaiming through the ordinary means of grace the gospel that turns the world upside down. And so we come back to all these languages of blessing, and this is how we want to conclude and end. How is it that God blesses us? As he said in Genesis 12, he blesses us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He blesses us through the one who became a curse for us. I'm going to read one more passage from the New Testament, a beautiful missions passage. But I want you to hear this verse in light of Genesis 12, Numbers 6, and Psalm 67. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree, so that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. How does God bless us? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who became a curse for us. All of the blessings that we have are through Jesus Christ. And it is as we embrace Christ as he's freely offered in the gospel, and are overwhelmed and overcome by his glory and beauty, we long to see him be embraced by the nations. Let us pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we marvel that your plan of redemption from the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, was for the nations. Lord, we thank you and we marvel that the means by which you have redeemed us is by the sending of your own Son, Jesus Christ, who is that promised seed in the garden. Lord, that promised seed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Lord, that greater David promised to the king. Lord, the one who now sits at your right hand with all authority. Lord, we pray and we long to see your churches full, that all your chosen race, Lord, may with one heart and soul sing your redeeming grace. Lord, what a beautiful Savior we have. Lord, give us grace and courage and boldness to speak for him. Lord, may we, as your church, be a light that shines in a dark world, reflecting the light of the Son of God, Lord, with whom we fellowship and with whom by and through your Spirit we now partake. Lord, give us a view for the nations, Lord, because we've had a sight of your glory. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.